All right, we've been studying in 1 Peter for 43 years, but anyway, we're talking about humility, because in the chapter that we're studying in 1 Peter, I think it's chapter 5, you know, we studied verse 5 and 6.
Excuse me, can I tell my story?
No. The whole idea of humility is a it's directly related to the power of God. When you see these people that constantly need a new revelation, they need a new thing to happen, they need to go to a new conference, there's always some kind of activity that they need in order to keep it up, if you will. Remember I told you before about Mark Cavill in London. They did I don't know how scientific the study was, but they interviewed a whole lot of people that go to these crusades and conferences about every week. And about 3 days after they go and they come back, they start getting very depressed and uneasy and feeling bad. And so they can't wait to go to the next crusade or the next conference. And they think that's going to give them or get them something. But for us, all the promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen. They're not in any activity that we do. They're not in any new place that we go. But they're connected. This whole idea of humility is directly connected to idolatry. Obviously, if you have with idolatry, there can be no humility that can be tested, because the moment somebody interferes with your idolatry or your worship, then you will kill them. And you will judge them down, and they'll become evil people to you because they have messed with your ideas. And so we have to go back to Isaiah 53, where it's said of Christ, and if it's said of Him, as He is in the world, so are we. It says He has no form, nor comeliness, nor any beauty that when we see Him, we should desire Him. And so every time that we have a form of the way we think things should be or what things should look like, then we find humility goes out the door. And what happens is there is a direct relationship between feeling in a state of sloth or depressed or bored or whatever. There's this feeling of ennui, you know, everything, nothing, you know, it's just a don't care feeling. And it's because there's no humility, and there's no humility because of your own idolatry. Is everybody relating to this? Can you understand the logic? He has no form nor comeliness, and when we see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. The same must be true for His body. The body can have no form nor comeliness. It can have no beauty that when anyone sees it, we should desire it. And so what we're doing in the world with regard, we're trying to make Christianity have form and beauty to the people. And it's causing all of the stuff that we wrote about in the last word, about this evangelical nuisances. But that only exists so we can see something. And what we can see is the propensity and the tendency daily to want to have form. Because if there is form, there is no faith. And so we have an idea of what something should look like. We have an idea of the way something should be. And if it doesn't meet those images that you have in your head, then what happens? You get afraid. You get judgmental. You get bored. You get all of the possible depressed sometimes, anxious, anxiety. And so I want to concentrate on that. So today, this morning, we're going to go to Isaiah 28. Okay, now you can share your story. Now he's going to pop for 3 days.
No, because it's like if things go good, then.
No. Well, I know that's because I just said that, but that doesn't mean you're not pouting.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm admiring your accoutrement.
My what?
Your form. Shirt combination.
I have no idea what he's talking about. I just grabbed a sweatshirt. Isaiah 28. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Now we've studied this many times, and we know that the wine of Ephraim, or the drunkards of Ephraim, are those that have gotten drunk on the wine of self-seeking. And you can prove that in the scriptures if you want to, but I don't feel like doing it now. Mm-hmm. And don't write me any emails about it. All right? 28, verse 1. Now we are in verse 2. I'm not going to answer those emails. I'm getting too many emails from people that want to know, well, what does that mean? Go look it up.
You're going to have to quit saying controversial.
Some of them were just goofy.
They always strike me.
The crown of pride. Wait a minute. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. Now, by definition, you cannot have an idol. You cannot have an image of the way something should be without having said to yourself, this is good. You understand me? And so you've become drunk on the wine because you have the form of the thing in your mind. Some of you know a lot about, some of you are actual, you should, there should be an AA meeting for the wine of Ephraim, because you just love your ideas. They're just wonderful. And they sustain you and they give you life and meaning. Because you have some stupid, harebrained idea. Right?
My name is Wade Collier.
Hi.
From now on, just
going to be
Wade. I'm going to
sober for 2 days.
But he shall, what shall he do? A tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under foot or feet. And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower. And that's what this is, this glorious beauty of these crazy ideas and images that you have. I mean, it is, if you could just see for a minute how you try to sustain yourself by those ideas. You try to have, because that gives you something to eat. Right? And if you don't have that to eat, then you get all depressed and you think something's wrong. The only thing's wrong is you. You got it? No more heroics. No more spiritual, you know. Special forces.
What I was laughing at was I realized that years ago, when I needed to feel better, I would fantasize about women, but now I fantasize about my great ideas.
You were one of the people I was talking to. But you also fantasized about your great ideas back then, too.
Yeah, but now they've moved into first place.
Is everybody understanding the relationship between the wine of Ephraim, idolatry and ideas, and how they destroy humility? Has everybody got that clear in your mind? And the fruit of these great ideas are judgments, murder, apostasy, blasphemy. And yet what's that? Lauren Cunningham, who I know. He's the guy that started Youth with a Mission many years ago. And I've interviewed him many times, both on television and radio. And Benny had him on his program this morning. And Lauren has been called to Hawaii. That's where his headquarters is. I mean, God has called him there. And it is a beautiful, beautiful place they have. They have hotels all over the world. I mean, it's a huge organization. And what was just driving me crazy is Benny and Lauren were sitting there, and they were talking about, well, God has told them this, and God is showing them that. And it was just the ideas that they had that everybody else has, but they can't talk like that. I mean, they can't just, you know, it's like why in these charismatic circles people call themselves brother and sister. The only reason they do that is because they're trying to create a reality by the sorcery of words. Well, the same is true in the charismatic world with regard to God is telling me, or God has told me this. It's because they have no confidence in the words as they're speaking as from the oracle of God, so therefore they have to emphasize and expand and give credence to their words. And so they say, well, God is telling me this, and God is telling me that. Well, no, he's not. And it's an evidence that they don't believe. Can you see that? I mean, can you imagine me running around calling out Brother Wade and Sister Carolyn? Well, that's asinine. But this whole idea, we don't, because the environment here, nobody around here will dare to say that God told them. But it's the same thing. You come up with some harebrained thing in your mind and you're convinced that it's in the plan of God. And so you're going with it and you're silently saying God told you. Because in the way, the evidence that you're saying God told you is that there is no repentance of it. You haven't cast down the imaginations and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You haven't brought into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, because your ideas are your meat. And without them, you will die. And you're eating at this table with demons. You understand that? We don't get out of trouble by coming up with harebrained ideas. We get out of trouble by repenting deeper and waiting on God. Because anything else is the mortal enemy of humility. And without humility, there are no Christian virtues. Anybody have any thought, response, expansions on the tale?
Well, today's the same theme as yesterday. And yesterday, I was thinking that we're so sure that we're not provided for. That's why we develop ideas. Also, just yesterday after breakfast meeting, I just sailed out here like a free man.
Great.
Yeah, the thing that's coming through to me loud and clear today and yesterday and the couple of days preceding is that all we have to do is just sit in our tent and wait, sit by the door of the tent and wait, and God will bring a truck up with whatever we need.
Amen. That's the whole mystery of the life of the Spirit.
And I don't have to worry about God not seeing something.
No.
Watching these tapes, you see
little behavioral changes and tics and expressions and stuff in these guys. Benny, in the last few weeks, has moved to the Tilton stage, which is now God is interrupting him in mid-sentence to give him messages. So he has to stop and listen and scrunch his face up and then say, thank you, Lord, and then tell us what it was that God just told him. And that's a whole new thing, which means he's more desperate.
Well, he's scared to death.
And I hope he was listening to that.
The glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. In other words, the fruit had no value. It was not even fruit yet. It's like eating a green pecan or something. But the whole idea here, this is talking about these mental games. Can you understand that? If you don't, let's talk about it.
Yeah, you're eating the image of what's yet to be.
Right.
It's a make-believe fruit.
Right.
Yeah. Never
that. Like, and that's why you get. That's why you remember when we talked about debt. The real debt is the debt that you get. You have some idea and you get enjoyment from it. You get sustenance from it, and then you're in debt. You owe because when that fails, you owe that. Something. And so pretty soon you're so far down in the dungeon that you can't get out. I hope you understand. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be... Now we're coming to that day. Which is that day? It's the day that you repent. The day that you repent is the last day. You repent from God's perspective. You repent by accepting your death and leaving your dead body behind. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. Now, maybe we could spend a month on that one. But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priests and the prophets have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. Now, you understand. You understand what the strong drink they're talking about here is the refined. It's the next distillation process after wine. So it goes from wine to brandy to cognac, and this was done. This has been done for jillions of years. Now, the strong drink they're talking about is the cognac, the brandy and the cognac. Now, what is that? Can you get a picture of spiritually if the wine of Ephraim is the self-seeking, what is the brandy and the cognac? The strong drink.
The works.
Well, think about it. We'll talk about it. I want because it's real important. Okay? I'm not going to tell you right now.
That would have to be like the Peter Lowe and Zig Ziglar experts at self-seeking.
Well,
picture of high places.
You know, it has to do with not just it has to do with having others in the conspiratorial alliance for that same thing.
Yeah, like a coven.
A lot of the mixed thing is, you know, it's like strong drink is, sometimes it's talking about like mixed wines. It's one of the things they didn't like. God didn't like in the Bible. They said, beware of mixed.
All right.
Get together and worship.
And for a spirit of judgment to them that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine, they are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision, they stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Now a table is the place at which you eat. And what vomit is someone else's food that they have regurgitated. are your own ideas that you've regurgitated. In other words, if you've already seen the emptiness of something, maybe you've seen for once the emptiness of all this idea crap, and then you go back and go through it again to get out of this feeling of stress or whatever, then you're eating at the table full of vomit.
You've gone from one level, which is a false food just in itself,
right,
to the next level, which is
vomit,
thrown up stuff that you're eating again.
Because you've already seen the emptiness of it. You've already, it's already served its purpose. You've returned to the vomit. A dog has returned to its own vomit. Everybody see that? All right. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there's no place clean. There's been all kinds of stuff in the press lately about how preachers copy each other. You know, it's plagiarism. And it's just rampant. And I was listening to a talk show on NPR, and they were talking about this, and one of the ministers on was excusing it because they are so busy that they have to go to the internet and copy other people's speech sermons. Well, what the hell? The idea of writing down a sermon is so foreign that I can't even believe it. But the idea that I would copy somebody's sermon, I mean, I can't even conceive of it. I wouldn't even know how to do it.
Especially if it's on the internet.
Anyway, that's true. Shut up, John. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. But, and implicit in that is, but until then, precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. If you're in an environment where someone is teaching you that the way to understand God is to go this line upon line, memorize the Bible, hide the Word of God in your heart, then this process can last 100 years. But it's by the preaching of the cross and the fulfillment and the efficacy of the fulfilled Christ that you can shorten this process, but you must be willing to. Because what everybody is looking for with the wine of Ephraim or with drugs or with alcohol, they're looking for the refreshing. That's what everybody that goes to these crusades all the time is going through. That's what you are looking for. You're looking for the time of refreshing. And so you think that can come from drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography, new deal, new job, new wife, new this, new that. You were looking for this time of refreshing. And the reason I know that is because all men are looking for that time of refreshing. And so you try harder to find the time of refreshing. You go to different places to find the time of refreshing. You listen to Bible study tapes to go to the time of refreshing. You do whatever. You do a jillion things except what it says. That you go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. And we're back to that Isaiah thing where it says, you know, you are wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you say it not that there is no hope. For you found the life of thine own hand. Think how many million times that God has put you in a place where repentance has been possible, total repentance, where you felt hopeless, without any ideas, there's no way out of this. And that's all he ever wants you to do is to find that place. And then instead of, and never allow your mind to take off from there. Excuse me. But you know, you stand with Jesus when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there's no answer. And you must wait for his resurrection in you. That's the mystery of godliness. It's the mystery of the Christian faith. But you try to get around that. Masquerading as an angel of light. Because you haven't waited for his resurrection. And through those internal self-efforts, as long as you're still working it, you never will know his resurrection. Because you didn't have the courage to wait. And therefore, there is no humility. Everybody understand? Any response?
I was thinking about that space of time where the waiting takes place, and your mind goes into overdrive, trying to convince you that that's not the right thing. Accuses and does all that stuff. That's when you have to have the courage to stand fast.
Well, that's why it says that you might, at that point, you must turn judgment to the gate. You can't do this alone. You have to, huh?
Revenge the disobedience.
Right, but you also rip revenge the disobedience, but that's when you need the body more than anything. Because if they don't exhort you to stand, you won't stand. You will take off on your standing, not meaning standing up, but staying in one place. All right. Anybody else? Take it, big guy.